Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Ephesians 2.
And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. And thank you for joining us for this episode. It is Saturday, August 19th at 9 a.m., which we are live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for a conversation of with men dealing with issues of life, looking for solutions, well, looking for biblical solutions to the issues that we face as men of God and as believers in Christ. Amen. And I ask you again, thank you for all those who have called in at 646-668-2636 and those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of guests who came on today. Also, those who are on the switchboard, we see you all. If you want to join the conversation and share your insights, press 1 on your keypad as we go through the show today. We're going to talk about morality, moral and sexual purity. Moral and sexual purity as men of God and in the larger church body, we want to focus on the men today about our moral purity and sexual purity and how the two are intertwined and yet are, and what the Bible teaches us is to be as men of God. Amen. Because these are things that we need. These are issues and these are the foundation of who we are. If we're to be leaders in the home, in the church, in the community, we have to be in the right standing and in the right place with God so that we can be an example and set the legacy. Amen. Well, I'm going to go over a prayer. You know, I have a couple of announcements coming up, a couple of things. So let me open in prayer. Father God, first of all, God, I thank you, God. I thank you for all that you've done, and I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the salvation of our souls. I thank you for the men that are on the line, oh God, today. I thank you all for all the brothers that we're connected with by spirit and by blood. We ask, God, that you can continue to watch over your church, God. Watch over the pastors, the elders, the deacons, and those who minister behind the scenes, oh God, who are faithful to the things of God. Father, we pray today for the sick to shut in, oh God, for those in hospital rooms, nursing homes, prisons, rehab centers, wherever they are where sickness is, I pray for their healing right now. We pray your will be done in those ICU units, in those surgical units. We continue to pray for those with mental health struggles in and out of institutions, Lord God. Father, we know your Holy Spirit can touch a man's mind and clear it and bring order to that chaos. So we're praying for them right now, Lord God. Father, we ask, oh God, that you continue to bless our families, oh God, our wives, as our wives, our children, grandchildren, Lord God, our bloodlines, oh God, those in the body of Christ, God. We just lift it all up to you, God, because you know all things, oh God. You know the need, oh God. But God, most of all, I pray for those in the, those men, oh God, that today, that brother who woke up this morning, who may be in confusion, who may be suffering spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically, Lord God, touch him. Touch him by your Holy Spirit. Guide, direct him, my God. Let him know not to give up, to never, never, never give up and seek you, God, for the solutions and for the plan for his life. We ask this in your name, God, and that we all, God, you may keep us through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might stand before you and hear, well done, a good and faithful servant, God, because we endured all these things here on earth because we are just pilgrims passing through. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, first, let me start with health alert, health announcement. I realize next month is prostate health, prostate cancer awareness month for the month of September. So when we talk about that a little bit, I'm looking, I'm setting up something to bring in a professional doctor or someone with some medical experience to talk a little bit about it. But for those brothers out there who don't know, because there's men of a certain age, probably under 30 or 40, to understand what your prostate is. But it's an issue. I didn't know how to explain it, and I just lost my train of thought. But anyway, the prostate is between your urethra and it controls a lot of your functions with urine, ejaculation during sex, and if it gets swollen or the cancer forms in it, it can do a lot of things. This is where ED, erection dysfunction, comes from, and it affects some other things in your body. It can be painful. For those who know, you know, the exam used to be with your doctors. I'll put it plain. The doctor would have to use his finger to check if it's swollen, to check if there was lumps or something like that. But now they have a blood test. So, you know, some guys, you don't have to do a rectal exam anymore. But I think you still might. It depends. But just the fact that we have to be aware of it. And if you're unclear, ask somebody. You can go on the website. It's Prostate Cancer Foundation. Ask your doctor during your annual physicals. And for men of a certain age, talk to your sons, your nephews, those younger brothers, because early it's detected. Especially in the African-American community, the prognosis is good. I've known several brothers who have survived, who had it. They didn't necessarily have treatment, but they had other problems with their prostates, and they found them through the exam that they were to be treated. Because I can tell you, one of the first signs, like I said, that you, the most common and first things you will notice is two things: having a problem with erection, and you keep getting a lot of urinary tract infections out of nowhere. So if that's you, or if that's the issue you're dealing with, go to your doctor. And like I said, for most of us, it's on annual physical. Most of your primary care doctor is going to test you for it. So that's my prostate cancer awareness speech. I'll be doing more later on in the month. And I also got something coming up. I'll be reaching out to those who know me personally. I'm doing a fundraiser. But I can have more details for it later once I set it up, because I'm going to do a fundraiser to make a donation to that prostate cancer research. Amen? Amen. So today we're going to be talking about, again, we're talking about morality and sexual purity. Amen? I encourage you, get some paper, pencil, something to write on and write with. But we're going to be talking a little bit, and we're going to have some scriptural references, and I base this on the communication. And again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, press one on your keypad. We can bring you in the conversation. I see you on the switchboard. I thank you for all the brothers who called in. And again, those brothers, if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we appreciate you, but you can call in there and join the conversation. Also, you can find the link for this on Facebook. And if you also really receive the link later on in the week after we do this live recording, I encourage you to share it. Share it with the brothers in your circle of influence, those you're ministering to, those you might be discipling, to be able to talk about these issues and these things. And it could be a jumping off point to just something to have a conversation about the things of God with men of God, to encourage men of God. Amen. Amen. Well, first, let me open up. I got a couple of brothers here that I invited to come on, and I appreciate them taking time out of their schedule to join us. Let's start with Pastor Jay Offer. Good morning, sir. How are you?
God bless you. Good morning, Deacon Farr. We're doing good over here.
Amen. Well, first of all, let me thank you for joining us and being part of the conversation. And also, we have Pastor Arthur Thompson. Can you hear me, sir? Over.
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Thank you, sir. Yes, sir. You're good. You're loud and clear. I just want to thank you, too, taking time out and joining as we talk about these issues as men. And we talk about purity. So we're going to go around. I'm going to go around the conversation, but let me kick it off with this. Because when we're talking about purity, one of the first things that jumps in all of our minds is when we think about purity, we're going to think about sexual purity, which is part of it because that's where it starts. And that, unfortunately, is the foothold, is the thing that the enemy always tries to get into men's lives and get them off course. But also I want to think on a broader level that the Bible speaks about purity. It's speaking really about keeping ourselves from sin, being pure, being living and being without sin. And that purity of our life and these issues, that it's being free from sin in our lives. And then again, we got to realize when we're dealing with sin, it can manifest a lot of ways in our life. It can manifest in our character, how we treat people. So that purity is also morally, as we are living lives that are biblically moral and obedient to God. Amen. Let me go. I'm going to start with you, Pastor Offer. What do you say, sir? When we're talking about purity, morality, and sexuality, what do you say, sir?
Well, the first thing I always do is go to...
Hold on. I'm going to start. Go ahead, Pastor Offer. Offer, yes, sir. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
OFFER.
No,
no, then I come
to
you,
live radio.
Yes, it's live radio.
Yeah. On any subject, the first thing that I do is I go see what God's got to say about it. I don't open my mouth until God opens his mouth. And when we look in the Word of God, 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 15th, 16th verse, we find a strong admonition. It says, but like the Holy One who called you, and this is National American Standard Bible. It says, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves. Also, in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And here we find that in the New Testament, we have a calling to be like the Lord. He wants us to walk like him in order to be good representatives of his kingdom. I think we can go into a whole litany of issues that arise because God's people don't walk like they're supposed to walk, i.e. they don't walk like they're God's people. They walk like they're somebody else's people. But if we can hold fast to the Word and we can pray and fast daily and seek him for guidance that we need.
Amen, amen, amen. You're right. It all begins there. It's who we are as men of God and who we are and what God is calling us to be. Pastor Thompson, can you hear me, sir? There you go. I'm going to separate it. That way we don't have confusion.
Yes, sir.
What do you say, sir?
I mean, again, as my brother has just stated, it's more than just a decision. And I think often when we think of purity and when we think of sin in our lives, we want to pick and choose. And the devil has certainly confused us to having us thinking that we have a sense of management about our purity and what's convenient for us. The Bible is clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 18 through 20, it says, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside his body, but whoever commits sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? So as we look at our personal allocation that God has provided us, when we look at how God has gifted us to have the freedom to do things in our own way, but they have to be all followed out of his commandments. We can't just run and pick and choose a lifestyle that helps us feel good versus what God has told us. Again, I go back to Romans 12:1, he beseeches us to, submit ourselves to, be that holy sacrifice for him because of what he's done for us. So as we look at God and his prominence in our individual lives, we have to always remember that God has done so much for us. The very least we can do is honor him with our thoughts, which is what drives our impurity is, when we think and see things. And so we have to guard our hearts and minds to make sure we can align with what God is calling us to do as a people. Amen?
Amen, amen, amen. And I agree. And that's the thing we have to all do, because as Christian has told, we talk about is, again, as we have these conversations, I don't want any brothers to assume that anyone that's here on the panel, myself, or anyone who's in the discussion, that we put ourselves on a pedestal, but we all understand that we all are in, first of all, we all are accountable to the Word of God in our lives, no matter what our position is or the responsibilities we have. So I want to say that because the Word of God applies. It used to be an old saying, the Word of God is good for the back pew and for the pulpit, so that everybody in the building. So we got to make sure, I want to put that there. But also, in when we're talking about this purity, It is about how we are perceived and what is our character. Because again, if we are living renewed lives, are we living converted lives and obedience? The thing that we live in, I used to say it, we're going to sin less. We're not going to be sin less, but we're going to sin less. And our lives should start to reflect that in our thought life. Because a lot of it, if we remember that, sin starts on the inside. It's not so much what you're doing on the outside, but once the inside starts to be converted, and that's the thing I always share with the brothers, that God is going to save you, and he's going to start working on who you are on the inside. Because we could dress you up. We can even make you come to church every week and every Bible study and make every event and be seen as whole, as seen. To be seen like you have it together, but yet on the inside. I think Jesus talked about it as being whitewashed tombs. We're still dead on the inside. So to be alive on the inside is where it's all going to start. And when we're talking about moral purity, it's a heart condition, and it's a mind condition. So I just wanted to encourage the brothers there. I'm going to come back around with you again, but I want to, brothers, as always, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, I encourage you to have something to write on, or write with, or you can always go back to the archive and listen to it again, because I always want to give some scripture references for your deep dive and for your study as we bring these subjects and these topics up. First scriptures I want to share, I think both pastors shared one of them, is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, Philippians 4, verse 8, James 1, verse 17, and then 2 Timothy 4 and 12. And I just wanted to plant those seeds into the minds of the brothers and to the men to look over those things, to study those things and see how we are applying those things to our lives. as we continue to talk about and see where we are when it comes to purity. You know, where we, how we're living, how we're thinking. And again, what example are we setting for those around us, inside the body of Christ, in our homes, in our churches, you know, and even to the world, you know, because when it comes to evangelism and outreach, we have to be right thinking when it comes to the issues that are surrounding us in this culture. So, gentlemen, I'm going to come back around, Pastor Thompson. I'm going to come to you this time and start with you. We talk about purity, too. It's bigger than that because I believe it was Matthew chapter 5 when Jesus, in the Beatitudes, when he talked about blessed are the pure of heart, that they shall see God. And that purity is a spiritual purity, that's where we start to be cleansed at. So what do you say to that, Pastor Thompson?
Well, no, that's without a doubt. And what we must always understand and make sure that we're sharing it too is that it's a process. It, you know, foundationally, you know, we're inwrought with sin. You know, we have a sinful nature, and that's the whole purpose of why we need to be cleansed and why we need to be purged, because once we make that transition and, you know, that we're no longer foreigners or strangers, and you know, we're fellow citizens with God, and then we have to position ourselves to be living accordingly to those same standards that the same people that are in that family. But it's a growth process. And so often we think that, you know, I'm different, or, you know, what the world tells us, especially with our young men today, you know, sex is a part of life. You can't live without sex. And so that's why we have to learn how to pursue the things of God, and we have to put ourselves in a position that we're connected to other people that have those same values that can help us sort out those thoughts, because the mind, that's the battlefield for Satan. See, Satan, no, he's defeated, but yet if he can cause distractions in the hearts that change the minds of people that are around, still wreak havoc. And so that's the greater goal where, you know, when we talk about fleeing from sexual morality, when we talk about being pure, that's why we have to keep ourselves in such a way that we're protecting ourselves from the outside influence that want to make a mockery of the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen, sir. That's off of what you say, sir.
First, I gotta tell you, Pastor Thompson had me deep in his words because they're very, very true. And recently I did a webinar on the image of the church, and much of it dealt with us walking upright, being true in our communication. My mind goes back to two things. One goes back to the Bible as always, but I also thought of Sun Tzu. And to add a little bit to what Pastor just said, you know, Satan is waging a war that he can't win. We know that he can't win, but he wants you to be lost in the sauce, so to speak, when the battle is fought. And his greatest weapon is deception. Sun Tzu said that. Sun Tzu is a great warrior and tactician from antiquity in the Chinese culture. And he was a great warrior, and he wrote a book called The Art of War. And he elaborates on the value of deception. And so we have to stop believing lies that Satan is giving to us. It's our responsibility to understand and know the voice of God as he speaks to us. And as we go along, we have to learn. It's all a process. Scripture is given so that we could be trained, so that we could be corrected. And you know, that gives me hope. But also what gives me hope is when I look in the scripture and pull up the book, 1 Kings, the 9th chapter, we find that Solomon is receiving reassurance about his father. And as the 4th and the 5th verse speak well, Elizabeth. It says, and if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. And what I find in that is we know that David messed up. David got so caught up in his immoral agenda that it caused him to kill a man to cover up what he had done. But God still had a way for David to make his way back to a right relationship with him. And that's what we need to just keep in our hearts. Don't be deceived by what the enemy's saying. Make sure you know the voice of the God that you serve. And as we make mistakes, as we go along, God already knows that the flesh will fall and it will not stand. But he has made a way where he can hold us up and correct us. And then it is our responsibility to not return to that sin and not to return to that situation.
Amen, amen. And you're correct. And you're both, gentlemen, you're both correct. This is Satan. Because, you know, he already knows his outcome. You know, we know from Scripture what his end will be. But we got to remember what Satan's job is out there, kill, steal, and destroy God's creation. And we are his creation. And he wants to take as many of our souls with him into his destination. Because he's still angry at God, he's still trying to get back at God, and if he can take his creation, which is us, the human race, into that fiery pit along with him and all those who fell with him. I mean, sometimes we read the scripture, it's simple. It's a battle, a God who's fighting, who already knows he's lost, but he can't save himself, or nothing he's going to do can deter his destiny, but he knows he can take some innocent people with him. And that's us. And then that's why we have to see as men of God, why we have to be steadfast, standing up, being watchmen on the wall, to hold each other accountable, to hold our families, to lead our families, to lead the churches, lead the community. Because Satan is looking to take as much as God's created mankind as he can with him, because he already knows what's going to happen to him. Yeah, he already knows. But he's trying to still get back to God and take as many of human beings as he can. But us as the church, as the body of Christ, as men of God, we have to understand that we're at war spiritually. And this is one of the things. And again, like what Pastor Thompson said, it starts in our minds. It starts in every man's mind. What do you believe? Why do you believe it? And now you're going to live obedient to the God you say you serve. And that's all we look to do here at Issues Christian Men's Touch, is to encourage all of us in this walk, in our lives, as husbands and fathers, how we're leading in our homes, and all these things to stir us up, to remind us what it is. You know, I have two pastors here that I respect a lot and I fellowship with, to know that the church is not a social club. We're not a fraternal organization. And some of us have to get out of that. I've dealt with that over the years, talking to brothers and what they think the church should be doing and what you're really doing. But, amen, I don't want to go down the rabbit trail. I want to stay focused on David, talking about purity of heart and being pure in our character and what the scripture is saying. Man, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Go back to my notes. This is why I have notes to keep me on track. Amen? Amen.
Yeah.
So. Amen. So in the purity and who we are, and it's also, I want to say this, I want to jump into this, because sometimes we got to look at purity as our, what are we devoted to? We can't be double-minded men, because we have to have a one focus, and that's where the morality comes in. We're trying to put a lot of things into our basket, but we should have a single focus. When it comes to spiritual being spiritually moral, on being moral, that we're focused on Christ and the things of God, and then not get caught up in the things that will lead us away from God. And I say that, let me start with you, Pastor Thompson. I say that, and I say that on purpose, because as men, we call a lot of things that we call hobbies or interests or things we like to do. Now, it could be football, baseball, fishing. It could be a lot of stuff out there, because we talk about things that will draw our devotion away from God, and in that drifting can move us out of position with God and compromise, and those things become idolatry. So I want to put that out there, because we have to consider these things in the lives of men, in our own lives, and then for the brothers that we are connected to in fellowship, and we hold each other accountable. So what do you say, Pastor Thompson, about that? Those things that we have a single mind, purity of our devotion to God.
Yeah, that's a big one. That's when the Bible talks about a living sacrifice, and that's guarding our hearts, because, you know, you can have people that are get a heart transplant now, you know, medically, you know, they're transferring hearts from people to people. But the mind, and like you used to say years ago politically, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And when we're not consuming things in our mind, you know, that's where the distraction comes in, because we see this and we see that. And all of these things are very prominent around us. And so we have to know and have a plan, you know, to execute through that journey in life. You know, football, I'll never forget growing up, you know, it was a religion, you know, Sunday mornings, it whatever else was going on, you know, hey, I don't have time to go to church because of football. You know, the cell phones in this particular age has provided us a sense of what we think is privacy, to be able to, you know, sneak around and watch things on it. It's not appropriate. But what we don't understand is that, you know, it's God's will for us to be sanctified. And through that sanctification, we can purge those thoughts and come in a way that those impurities are, we see them, we hear them, but we have a process to be able to guard them from coming into our spirit and delineating the things that are around us, because that's what sin does. Sin hurts our marriages. Sin hurts our children. Sin hurts our relationship, even in the workplace, when we're immoral and we're not pure, because we'll say and do anything. So I always try to challenge brothers, man, we got to watch what we're watching on our phones. We got to watch what we're watching on our TV sets. You know, it's little subtle things that Satan wants to pop out to sort of redirect us from God's plan, but we got to have our own plan to guard our hearts. Amen.
Amen, amen. Pastor Jay, what do you say, sir?
Once again, I'm in total agreement with my brother. Man, where your church at? I think I need to come just sit and listen to you.
But that's your heart. That's your heart, man.
But
that's fellowship, brother.
Know,
that's fellowship.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's right. But as we are talking about this and how we protect ourselves against what's going on, we need to have perspectives, I think. So was sharing some things to help us put it in perspective. You know, our actions, we often call our sins, you know, it's like, well, you know, it ain't hurting nobody else. But the truth of the matter is, especially when you start dealing with things like pornography and sexual immorality, that does have an impact on your family. And when you think about it, that is probably the most precious gift outside of salvation that God has given to his men, children, and that is to give us a wife, to give us children, and a responsibility. I mean, the Bible speaks about how we're blessed to have a quiver full, you know, and it's talking about having many children and the line carrying on. But what are we teaching our children? And so to bring it a little bit into a finer perspective when we take current events and use them as a template to explain this. When we engage in immoral behaviors, when we things against God, it's not just a sexual immorality, it's a purity issue all over. And so to think about it as you building and giving fuel to a RICO case in heaven against you. We racketeering when we go out here and we playing around with immoral conduct, and we call ourselves Christians. We're seeking, first of all, people that are involved in a RICO case are seeking after power, they're seeking after status, and they're seeking reassurance of their abilities, whether it's sex or to make money or to get in with a certain crowd or to amass certain material things. So you have to be cautious of this because we're conspiring with the world to defraud. We're defrauding people that are around us. When we're in ministry and we're doing stuff and, you know, we got Sister So-and-so's number in our phone, not for the purpose of ministry, but for the purpose of hooking up, conspiring to degrade the moral Christians. They look at us and find that we're setting an example, and what we do is we give people cover to just go out and do what we're doing. And the other is we're conspiring to obtain worldly goods, things that we shouldn't be seeking after. We should be seeking after the kingdom. And when we do that, when we seek after the kingdom, when we seek after the things that are godly, we ought to be guileless, inflexible, and persistent in our efforts. And when the Bible says man ought to pray always, think about it. If you're praying, you can't be down by fooling with other stuff that's not of God. Lord, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I tell people all the time, you can't put sin and a blessing in the same mouth at the same time.
Amen, brothers. Amen. I agree. And again, I thank you for sharing your wisdom, and we will continue to talk about the subject of moral and sexual purity. Amen. You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Issues of life that affect us as men of God. You can always call in at 646-668-2636, or you can go online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr and listen to the archive of this show and the archive of all our past shows. We've touched on a lot of subjects lately, and there's a lot of things. Just to be a man of God, to live the word of God, to live obedient to the word of God and the commands of Christ, it takes a church, it takes a community. And that's one of the things here we always talk about here, Issues Christian Men's Talk. Excuse me. Issues Christian Men's Talk is to the importance of men's fellowships, of the time when men come together to encourage one another, to hold each other accountable, one another, to challenge one another, and to support one another. And that's the fundamental basis of what we're doing here. And even when we have our Man Up events, that we want to come together to encourage one another, because no man is an island. And, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm finding less brothers talk about they can study the Bible and stay from their home, but there's still a few out there who think they don't need to be part of a local body, local congregation, and also to have a pastor over their spiritual lives and their spiritual growth. But, you know, when we find them and weed them out, we'll bring them into the fold. But that's the importance that we see as what it means to be a part of a men's ministry, a men's Bible study, a men's prayer group. That as men, we need one another because we are more in common than we are different. And the struggles we have, I just say this all the time. We're not married to the same woman, but we have the same standard of marriage. And it's a struggle. So the struggle that one brother is having with his wife, you know, it's not your wife, but I bet you the struggle is the same. And he's going through it, been through it, or needs help with it. Amen? So we always encourage that of men's groups and men's gatherings. Amen? Amen. Again, if you called in at 646-668-2636, press 1 if you're on your keypad if you want to join the conversation and share your insight and wisdom. I want to bring one brother in. I just saw him come up recently here. Deacon Purcell, can you hear me, sir? Are you with
us? Yes, sir. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hey, good morning. I hear you loud and clear over Roger. How you doing this morning?
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for the invite. Thank you for your consistency and your diligence in service, especially encouraging and holding us men accountable. Amen.
Amen, sir. Well, you, we're talking about purity and the devotion, purity to our devotion, where we're not slipping to idolatry. Anything you want to share on that?
Well, I think, and I heard what the other brother said. Thank you for sharing. But I think we can keep ourselves aligned with that first commandment that God has given us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and might. And so that within itself is so weighted, because when we do that, there's no room for anything else. And in order to love someone, you have to stay connected. You have to deny yourself. You have to give up your will for their will. And when you love God with all you have, every essence of your being, that does not leave room for you to do anything else. And that second command says, love your neighbor as yourself. When you love others as you love yourself, and you will love yourself if you have loved God with all you have, there's no room to deviate, to be put in a position to operate outside of the morals, outside of being pure, because you've kept God first. You've kept God as your foundation, as your center. And then lastly, what you're doing, provoking us to fellowship with one another, that then creates another level of accountability. On those days that we don't feel like being who God called us to be, a brother can lift you up. I think it's very important to put yourself in that position. Amen?
Amen, amen, man. Amen, amen. I thank you for that. That's all we try to do, man, because, you know, there's so many brothers out there who are in the struggle and still have, let me say it like this. When it comes to the renewed mind, it gets to that place where now we can trust. We have men in our circle of influence that we build a relationship where we have that trust. So depending where we come from or how we were raised or whatever, when it comes to the body of Christ, we have to get to that place. And I believe that Pastor Thompson said it earlier about it's a process. I agree it's a process. No man, I don't know any brother, even for myself, I wasn't raised in the church, but to walk into the building, and then now you have to figure out and see who's who, what's what, and then how do you build those relationships, knowing that you need a relationship. I think that's the biggest thing, knowing that we need to get other men in our lives. And this is what I say all the time about those brothers, the leaders, elders, whatever. Those, put it this way. If you're in the church and you see a man come to the church, we need to connect with that man because he thinks all y'all got together. And the only reason I know y'all ain't got together because I know y'all. But when I'm new to the building, I think all you brothers in there got it together because your ties match your socks. And you're looking, you know, you got a suit on. And I came with a T-shirt or a football jersey to church. Anyway. But we have to be on purpose, and that's why I think it's important for us to be able to reach men, to be able to minister to men, to be able to disciple men, and put men in that comfort zone where they can feel the masculine relationship in the church. And this goes way back, but this goes, Deacon Purcell, he knows, we go way back to, you know, coming to a church and it's full of women, and it's all feminine in there, and this is why brothers don't come to church. But that, you know, that was like in the, you know, late 90s. It's different now. I hope. Amen. Wait a minute. See, this is why I have notes, because I keep drifting. Amen. We are talking about morality and sexual purity and how where we are with that. Again, brothers, I want to give a couple of scripture reference for your deep study, your deep dive in your time alone when we're talking about this. And then I'm going to come back around the table again for comments on the next part here. But I'm going to give Titus chapter 2, verse number 5. I'm going to give Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4. I'm going to give Colossians chapter Well, okay, let me give you Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. I want to read that one. But then I also want to give you Romans 13 and 14 for your understanding. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. And that, to me, that's kind of like Deacon Purcell was saying. if we focus in on God and obeying Him, these other things will drop off of us, or God will start purge us of some of the things that will tempt us and that will get us off track. Because I think that single-minded devotion to the things of God is what's going to help us grow. It's going to sanctify us. It's going to keep us in a place where we're living lives pleasing to God and keep us in right standing with God. Pastor Jay, what do you say, sir?
Well, I love that scripture because this is what popped into my mind immediately. Let it go, bro. Let it go. Vision in my mind is a brother is holding on to an anchor, and he finds himself overboard from a boat. He's out of the safety of the boat, holding on to an anchor, and doesn't want to let go. We've got to let go. And as we let go and become free, then we can get back to our safety. We can get back to that place where our brothers can rally around us to help protect us, to keep us. And the word I want to use is community. You know, the Christian way of life is a community. And in that community, we can find other things that are beneficial to us. Just like in our community, we have all kinds of activities, sources, products, and et cetera. We can focus on what is of God when we just let go. Just let it go. It's hard sometimes to let things go. I know as a young man, it was hard for me to let go of a lot of stuff. But as I got older, I began to think about, you know, what's important to hold on to and what's important to let go.
Amen. Pastor Thompson, what do you say, sir?
Man, I'm with my brother right there. That community thing is so big to me. You know, when we really talk about eradicating sin, when we talk about trying to have people understand purity, you know, we all have a different level of cognitive understanding, and so when I've seen impure act that's been lived out, and it's been lived out typically successfully in my house, in my environment. And when I come to the church, when, you know, if you look at me and you challenge me to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, soul, and mind, but cognitively, I want to love the Lord, and I'm struggling with getting there. You know, foundationally, it's a struggle. It's a war. I mean, there are visual things that are all around us on a consistent basis. So as we build a community, it's kind of what you were saying there, Deacon, is that in a church, we got to have people at all different levels. We have to have a better sense of communication to be able to not give people the thought that what they're struggling with has no value. Or here's the other side. We do this in a lot of our churches, too, that we basically almost – preach to justify the impure acts that come in the church because we want to make the church political. We want to make the church relevant. We want to do all the kind of that are out there to get people in instead of bringing people in with the greater goal of folding them into the kingdom of God. So when we talk about sanctification, when we talk about holiness, when we want people to attain those things, we have to be clear as disciplers that, you know, I think Paul calls people in Romans 12:1 brethren. a brethren. That's a man that understands that we're all together. When we move to call people, you know, saints and the family of God, we're saying that we have a community. So in a community, we deal with all these sicknesses, and we make everything, every tool, you know, all 66 books available to be able to address a person in every area of their cognitive disability, because we all have different ones, and we got to find a way to meet things. And I think personally, and not to just, you know, move over, I think that's a major problem we have in our communities today, is everybody has a different way that they think they want to do, instead of having one way that, well, multiple ways that lead back to the one way, which will bring people that they will understand that I have to love myself as much as I love God to be able to love others.
Amen, sir. Amen, amen. Deacon Purcell, what do you say, sir? Because I think that's one of the things that we have to get people, you're right, to get the focus on the things of God. And even like the body of Christ, we get off course, as Pastor just mentioned it, we get off course trying to do things to fill chairs instead of doing things to save souls. What do you say, Deacon Purcell?
I agree with what was said, both instances regarding community. And that's one of the things that Christ built. Christ consistently built a community. And we have to be intentional. And yes, you're absolutely right, because, you know, men come into church, let's think, not just new men, but men that have been there, we have to be intentional to build a relationship with them. We have to be vulnerable, and being vulnerable, that's pouring out ourselves, and be relatable as well, because I can remember coming into the church, and I, just like you said, Deacon Farr, I didn't feel like I belonged. I went because I was taught to go, but I didn't feel like I was a part of what appeared to be a good old boys network. I didn't wear the suit and tie. I didn't know how to put on the whole armor of God. I didn't know how, or I wasn't invited not to separate. But one Sunday, someone reached out to me and invited me out and began to tell me that I do belong and that God has put a call and a mandate on my life. And that relationship helped me want to be in that church. And I look up now, and it's been several years that I've been there. And we definitely do an injustice as a church when we don't reach out, become relatable, and provide what that need is. The church has done a great job at preaching and teaching the word, but not allowing it to be applicable in terms of mental health, and that you're really struggling. And if the truth is told, we all struggle at some point. We may just be stronger in certain areas and don't give in, and then we get help by other brothers helping us to apply the word or reminding us who we are. And when we do that, I think we form a stronger bond with men, with others in church as well, and that helps build the kingdom. Amen?
Amen. Amen, bro. You're right. Oh, man, you hit so many things there. You could do another 2 hours. But you're right, because we struggle with that's the thing. As in, when we talk about transparency, and we talk about the things that I'm going through, and let me say this to those brothers in the church. What your pastors go through, what your elders go through, there's all kinds of things that the enemy can use. Because remember, you know, if Satan can destroy a leader or a person in authority or a person that people are looking to, they can affect the faith and belief of a lot of folk. It's that old, what's that metaphor? You throw a stone into a lake, you know, the ripple effect, because it, and that's what being connected to is, that we can gird each other up. That's the biggest thing about men's ministry, and what my whole passion is, that we can gird. It's not that we all going to get it right every week or every day, but we're girded up to where we're not going to fall to our knees. You know, that old thing, if two men got me by my shoulder, no matter how weak my knees are, I'm not going to fall to my knees. And we have to